title of today's message is this: a confident certainty. A confident certainty. Can there be any such thing in this world? A confidence that something is absolutely and utterly certain. Nothing that we do, say, or hope to do in this world, we're told by the Word of God, nothing that we plan or purpose in this world, nothing that we imagine is ours in this flesh, we can presume upon. That's what James the Apostle says. He says, do not say we will go and we will buy and sell in this place or that, we will travel here, we will travel there. But if the Lord be willing, we are constrained and detained by the will of God. Nothing we plan is certain. But I want to speak to you today about a confident certainty. You know, in the sporting world, most of the successful ones in their own discipline are said to have an inner confidence in advance of going into a particular competition or contest. An inner confidence. A confidence that convinces them even that they just cannot lose. It's been said of so many who are used to winning. They get into the habit of winning and they believe they will not lose. Winners, especially in individual sports, are thought to have half the contest won already in their head. With an inner belief. The terminology they use at Wimbledon tennis time, you quite often hear the commentators talking about players who've got, they've got an ability but they just can't do it. They haven't got it between the ears, they say. This, you know, is often mistaken for arrogance. It's mistaken for arrogance. But you know, the people of God, those redeemed by the blood of Christ, the people of God have a greater confidence than one of mere self-belief. The ones trusting in Christ Jesus believe Him to be the one and only way of hope with God. And this confidence is that we have access to God through Him, who is the only way, truth and life. Ephesians 2 verse 13 tells us, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And we see also verse 18 of this passage, for through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. Access. Complete. Certain. Access. Ephesians 3 speaks of a boldness of access to God by Christ. To say for certain that you have eternal life in Christ Jesus. And there is found life in none other. To say this. To say, I know whom I believe. Whom I have believed in, and I am certain, I am confident, I am sure that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. To say this to say this, and that there is none other. There is none other way of this confidence. It's thought by those and said by those who do not believe this, that this is arrogance. They call it bigotry. Whatever the world calls it, whatever the unregenerate calls it, the true people of God must have, do have, and will have this confidence. His own special people, elect and chosen, are reminded here in 1 Peter 3, which we'll read in a moment. They are reminded that they have and do have and must have this confidence. It's a sure and certain sign of this new life that they have been given. Turn with me please to 1 Peter 1. Reading from 1 Peter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We look particularly at verse 3 again, and we see here in 1 Peter 3 these people, these special people of God, these chosen of God, are reminded of these great things, of a great hope and confidence that is theirs alone and yours alone if you know Christ. If you know not Christ, if you know not the Redeemer, you have no hope. You have absolutely no confidence. You may have a self-confidence like the sporting man I read of earlier. But that is fallible. That is fallible. And it comes to ruin in the end. It surely fails soon enough. But the apostle reminds the people of God that there is a confidence and a great hope. Our text we look at again today says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again. And then we see this time what he has begotten his people, what he has given this new birth to his people unto now. What springs from it now? Unto a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh, what a pitiful thing it is to only talk of a risen Saviour on a man-made, idolatrous season called Easter. Jesus is only risen from the grave once a year, and then we put him back in his box, for he has no power. This Saviour, the only Saviour spoken of here, is risen indeed, the scripture says. Risen indeed. He's risen today. He's risen tomorrow. He ever liveth He is he that liveth and was dead, and behold is alive forevermore. Nevermore to die. And the children of God say, because he lives, we shall live also in him. The apostle Peter here, addressing the scattered believers who suffered many trials and persecutions for following Christ, who suffered many things, many temptations, many trials of their faith, has reminded them already that they are chosen by God. They belong to God. They belong to him from eternity past. They were indeed chosen in Christ from before the world began, and they indeed were redeemed by Christ at Calvary's cross. They were justified and set free before the justice of God, justified before God by the resurrection from the dead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Born again, and God is their Father. They know who they are, as we said last week. And flowing from being chosen and given new life in Christ, there is a great hope, a confidence. If you be in Christ Jesus, you must be confident. If you have no confidence, dear friend, you must plead with the Lord to reveal this afresh to you. Because if you have no confidence, this is a sign of not being in Christ. For this is a confidence not of the flesh. This is a confidence not of yourself. This is a confidence not of any other man, not of anything in this world. This is a confidence that only the people of God have. It's the constraining of the Spirit of God. Firstly, see, what is the hope that Peter speaks of here? What is the hope? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again, raised from the dead, given new life, born again of the Spirit of God, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What is this hope? Peter tells the people of God to take courage and confidence in this hope. In this hope. Only this week I was watching a repeat program of the Michael Palin series on where he travels around many countries, and it was the one where what she called the New Europe, where he visited many Eastern European countries, but he also visited where East meets West, and he visited Turkey, and he went beyond Istanbul, he went to the East, he went to the Asian side, and he visited Cappadocia. And I could not but think, as he spoke of those who hid in those caves, who made their homes in those ice covered caves, I could not help but think that they received this glad epistle from Peter. They received this in all their sufferings, in all their trials, in all their persecutions. This message of grace came out to them. Take hold on it. Trust in it. Have confidence in this. For this word hope he speaks of here means to anticipate with expectation and confidence. The hope spoken of in the Word of God that those following Christ have is no mere wishing something is. And you hear so many people speak, "I have a hope. I really hope it is so. We'll just have to wait and see." No, that's the religion of idolatry. That's the gods of this world that are nothing. Indeed, they can only vainly hope, because there is nothing at the end. Nothing about the wrath of God. But this hope here is not just wishing something is. It's not just rubbing on a genie's lamp and making free wishes, hoping they will come true. This is not some mere dream. This is a reality. It is not wishing something is, but a knowing confidently that which is looked to is so, and will be realized in full. That's what it means here. And so, dear believer, if you know Christ Jesus, if you be in any kind of problems which will come your way, you're promised them. In the cave, in the hiding place of your trouble and trial, you receive this word of God. Take courage. You have a hope. You've got a certainty. All this around you is not certain, but you do have a certainty. What is the hope the people of God have? What is it? Well, Colossians 1:27 speaks of a mystery revealed in the gospel to those called by God's grace. It is called Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what this hope is. Those who do not have Christ, do not possess Christ, those who Christ does not dwell in by his Spirit, for if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Those who do not possess Christ have no hope, but if you possess Christ, you are possessing all things. The hope of life eternal, to a resurrection from the dead. And secondly, we have just seen what is the hope. We secondly see who is the hope. 1 Timothy 1 speaks of God Almighty the Father through Christ Jesus the Son, how he is all our hope. He's all our hope. This hope of which we speak is given by Christ Jesus and in him, who says it is his right to grant it as his free gift of his grace to the elect of God, chosen in Christ. Chosen in Christ even from the foundation of the world. He says, and I give them, I give them, not the others, I give them, you if you know him, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. This is the hope that is in Christ. Being in Christ and having Christ. This gift of life eternal is for Christ to give, as he says, as many as thou hast given me. And that's all. But if you be found amongst that number, what hope you have? As many as thou hast given me, for that's what the Lord Jesus prayed to his Father. What a hope is indeed found in Christ, is known in Christ Jesus. For in him In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It is to know God. And as no man can come before the eternal, holy, living God without a mediating sacrifice, for without the shedding of blood there is no remission, no forgiveness. Even as our psalm told us earlier, if thou should mark us iniquity, who shall stand? But there is plenteous forgiveness with thee. No forgiveness of sin, and therefore acceptance with God as righteous and holy and good without a mediator. Then see what a wondrous hope and confidence is known in Christ Jesus. The apostle said in Philippians 3, did he not? The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus is to have all things, to lack nothing. See what a wondrous hope and confidence is known in him, Christ the Lord. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so, if you have Christ Jesus the Lord, in whom dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, God manifest in the flesh, then you have all hope and all confidence, and indeed looking forward in all anticipation and expectation to expect heaven's glory. Not merely hope as the world hopes, but to expect fully. The word of God putting it like this: having all things in Christ. For indeed that's what the people of God have. They have in Christ Jesus all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. How rich are you, child of God, actually knowing God Almighty, who dwelleth in light inaccessible. Thirdly, as we have seen the what and the who, we now see how was this hope achieved. The word of God tells us of Christ Jesus that he was bringing many sons to glory. We have just read, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He was bringing many sons to glory. By his death and glorious resurrection from the grave, he has achieved this. The child of God, the one trusting in Christ for salvation with God alone, such a one is begotten again of God, born again of God by the renewing of the Holy Spirit, creating faith in them. This one calling on the name of the Lord. Oh, what hope! Oh, what hope, what confidence and assurance is yours if this be you! Hear this, know this, and please grab hold of it. Grasp it well. What is this hope? What does Peter call it? A lively hope. A living hope. A hope that is alive. A hope that does. By what? By your actions? Certainly not. By your faith? Absolutely not. but by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. What did the angel say when the disciples came to the tomb? What was Mary told? Why seek you the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen, even as he told you. What great rejoicing, what great hope, when they thought all hope was gone, because their eyes were not quite enlightened to the whole of the wondrous truth of redemption. What rejoicing was known by those disciples, running to tell one another, he's alive. And so him who said, I am the resurrection and the life, he who believes in me, though he be dead, he shall live. It's all true, because he's alive, and only because of that. This resurrection of the Lord of glory is oh so important to you, having such hope. For you see, there are so many so-called Christians. They follow after a religion only. So-called Christians who believe not in the actual resurrection of Christ Jesus after 3 days and nights in the tomb, according to the scriptures. They believe it not. I tell you, these people are no hopers. They have no hope and are without God in the world. If the Lord Jesus be not risen, please go out and do your shopping right now. Go out and participate in sport. Go out and go down the pub now. Do whatever you wish, because you really have no point coming here. You truly are to be laughed at. That's what the Word of God says. If the Lord Jesus be not risen, there is no life either now or beyond the grave for those who believe on him now. If you have nothing to believe, there is nothing to receive. The Apostle Paul addresses the issue of whether there be any benefit of faith in Christ in this life. Now you remember the context. So many of these early believers were suffering many things for Christ, even as these addressed in 1 Peter 1. What does the apostle say in 1 Corinthians 15? Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? He's addressing here that there are some who say that the believers do not rise from the dead. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, vain again. Ye are yet in your sins. You have no Redeemer. Then they also which are fallen asleep, those which have passed the veil of death, they which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, to be pitied more than the very offscouring of the earth. But Christ is risen, the word of God says here. God has begotten his people unto a lively hope, a living hope that lives in them by Christ who is living. And so lastly, when is this hope known? When do you know it? Is it just something you just look forward to? When is this hope known? It is yours now, if you have Christ. Now. Yes, there is always spoken of here in the Word of God an expectation of a greater fulfillment, of a greater knowing, of a greater seeing, of a greater being. But there is this hope that is known right now. It's known right now. And that's why the people of God are implored to know that they have a certain hope, a confidence, to lay hold on it now. Is that not right? Is that not what the Word of God says? What does our text say? Unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What does lively mean? It means alive. It means it is active. It means it is doing it now. It's not dead hope. It's not dead religion. Holding to a form of godliness, but there is no power therein. But this is a lively hope, a living one, an expectant confidence. It is a living hope because the ones having this hope are made alive already with Christ. The Lord Jesus promises, the Father loveth the Son and have given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 3. Everyone who really believes, I mean really believes on Christ, has life eternal now. Right now. That is why it is a lively hope. So all events of this life, both good and bad, pale into insignificance. For this living hope the people of God possess also looks forward to a greater fulfillment and fulfilling, of which we look at next time, God willing. But see here, this eternal life. This eternal life the people of God have come into the possession of. They have come into the possession of by believing on the Son of God is the gift of God. But in fact, they didn't really come into possession of it by believing. The believing was only the seal. The believing was only the certainty to them. The believing was only the evidence of the things not seen. For see the words of the Saviour again in John 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. Not shall, but is passed from death unto life. They believe because they have passed from death to life. They've been begotten again by God to this lively hope. Not by the faith, but the faith reveals it to them. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall hear, and they that hear shall live. Have you heard the voice of the Son of God in the Gospel? Have you heard the voice of the Master Shepherd? Do you know his voice? Then you know. Then you know you have a certain hope, because he has already made you alive. Only those God reveals himself to in the proclamation of the gospel of Christ and him crucified can and do believe, and so can have this hope of life eternal. This hope is not just something for the future, because Christ is risen from the dead. Oh, there is a glory yet to be known, that we know not of. But there is a hope that God tells us we have now. There is a certainty, a confidence that God tells his people to lay hold on now, to remember now, to trust in now, to look to now. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. For when Christ died and rose again, all his people died to sin and have been given a new life. It's all been achieved already by the great Redeemer in his sacrificial substitutionary death on the cross and his glorious resurrection from the dead. There is nothing more needed. He's finished the work he came to do. He shall see, as the prophet Isaiah said, he shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Life eternal belongs to the people of God now. This is the lively hope. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Romans 6. And so this lively hope, this living hope is yours right now. Is yours right now, in whatever circumstance, situation, trial, temptation, or pain, or laughter, or joy. This living, lively hope is yours right now if you be trusting in the Son of God. Oh, may God make you alive, you who know not the Saviour. Oh, may God make you alive and reveal Christ in you to believe on him as your sin-bearing substitute Saviour. For only then can you have and know hope, confidence of life eternal now, and indeed anticipation of sinless perfection to come. Listen, child of God, as the Apostle Peter did it better than me, but as he reminded those believers long ago, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, reminds the people of God right now. Child of God, believing on Christ alone, whatever there be in this life, God will have you know what is yours right now. Hear his word, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. God compels you to know the hope, the hope of your calling. For blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, have begotten us again unto a living, lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What a great confidence to have.